I am so happy to be here. This has just been amazing to listen to all the research that's happening in New York and Philadelphia. I hope that hopefully what I have to share with you today kind of adds to the work that my colleagues are doing to kind of create and develop that richer and more holistic picture about what is happening among young men who have sex with men. And relationships. So my objectives for today is to assess the appropriateness of a gay-related development scale for use among a sample of young black and gay bisexually identified men, to describe the differences in gay-related development bisexual identity, to examine the role of gay-related development on experiences of external and internal discrimination due to sexual identity or orientation. So first, I'm going to give you some background information on the Get Real intervention, which serves as the basis for this presentation. So Get Real was a five-year study funded by the National Institute of Drug Abuse. It's a community-level intervention for young, black, and white MSM. The primary intervention tool that we used for Get Real were role model stories, and we also had a strong outreach component who disseminated our stories, as well as other materials and information. We collaborated with the Mazzoni Center, which is an LGBT organization in Philadelphia, and we used Baltimore as our comparison city because we did want to test the effectiveness of this community-level intervention. And here is just a sample. Although I will not be discussing Get Real today, I wanted to share two samples of our role model stories produced by the Get Real team. And interestingly enough, kind of the themes that have been discussed with my earlier presenters, these were the themes that we developed in our role model stories. So stigma, discrimination, violence, religion, risk-taking, those types of themes. And then we recruited through mixed methods. The interview was divided into two parts. We did an interviewer-administered first half, and then we did a CASI-administered, which is an audio computer-assisted self-interview. And that's helpful for more sensitive questions. But we also like the interviewer-administered to kind of build that trust and bonding with the participant. In Philadelphia, we interviewed 281 men, in Baltimore, 175. And these, this study is a longitudinal study, so our baselines were, and I'll be presenting on our baseline data, but our baseline data and our baseline interviews were conducted, I guess, from the end of 2006 to about May 2008, if we look at both cities. And to be eligible to Get Real, an intervention targeted black and white men who use drugs and alcohol. To join the study, men had to be between 15 and 29. They had to identify primarily as black or white. They had to report recent substance use, and they had to have a recent sexual experience with a male in the past 12 months. And so the focus for this presentation is going to be on 254 men from Philadelphia and Baltimore. One of the primary goals for this analysis was to examine the appropriateness of a gay-related development scale. And so the remainder is going to be just on these 254 black men between 18 and 29 years who identified as gay or bisexual. We removed our youngest participants since we're examining these developmental patterns, because we wanted to kind of look at a group that were already kind of similar in certain developmental and social milestones that they have reached, such as working, voting, graduating high school, hopefully, and things like that. And we excluded men who did not select an orientation or identity, or they identified as straight. So who do we have? Who am I talking about today? So like I said, it's 254 men. They are evenly split between Philadelphia and Baltimore. We have a nice distribution in our ages from 18 to 29. About half of our sample graduated from high school. 30% were currently enrolled in school at the time of their baseline interview. And about 1 in 3 men have post-high school education. And 3 in 4 men identified as gay. And now I'm going to kind of talk about the gay-related development scale. And although there's been previous research on the psychosexual developmental patterns of LGB youth, the idea for us to categorize these patterns came from the work of researchers from University of Pittsburgh who examined data from the Urban Men's Health Study. And their focus was on gay-identified men to examine the role of development on abuse and future poor health outcomes in adulthood. And their sample, though, was very different from our sample. So that sample was 18 to 40, primarily white and of a higher socioeconomic status. So we modified this slightly where we included bisexually identified men. And we're also interested in testing the feasibility of this scale with a different population in age and race. So what did we do? So one of the things we did is we conducted a k-means cluster analysis using these three milestones: age first attracted to the same sex, age first thought of himself as gay or bisexual. Now this item was asked separately. So based on how they identified, they were asked, when did you first think of yourself as gay? And if they identified as bisexual, when did you first think of yourself as bisexual? And then we also asked about age of first had oral or anal sex. So although men could have had different kinds of sexual experiences to get into our study, for this analysis, we really just focused on oral and anal sex. So we didn't ask what age did they first kind of start just doing normal sexual kind of initiation, curiosity, exploring. Now, one thing different from the previous researchers is we decided this time to exclude another major milestone, which is disclosure. We did ask it, age first disclosed, but some of our men did not disclose yet. And we started to look at this and we thought, well, is disclosure really part of the psychosexual development, or is it more about kind of an identity integration? And so we decided to kind of exclude it and really just focus on the three milestones that we felt were more related to development. And so here we are. This is the proportion of our sample. I kind of like what was talked about earlier where Dr. Halakaitis talked about kind of adolescent and emerging adult and young adult. However, we kind of called them early, middle, and late. So we have people who developed early, we had this middle category, and then the late category. And this is how they are kind of, the k-means cluster analysis, what it does is it allows us, by looking at the mean ages of those three major milestones, to kind of group people as similar as possible while also maximizing the difference between the groups. And this is who we have. And so now we're going to look a little more closely at our scale, and we find that as you can see this, I know there's a lot of information. So our three milestones are attraction, identity, sexual behavior. So although they're kind of left to right, and you might think, oh, this is how people develop. First, you realize you're attracted, then you identify, then you may have a behavior. That's not always the case. Now, it so happens that our early group, they did have a linear pattern. So very young, around 6 years was the mean age, they said that they realized they were attracted to the same sex. And then a few years later, they had an identity, whether it's gay or bisexual. And then about 15, they had oral or anal sex. And so they just kind of progressed that way. But they also, their development also was over a longer period of time. Then we look at our middle category, and interestingly enough, here they start to realize they were attracted at 12, and then about 15, they had an identity. But if you look at the green bar all the way to the right, sexual behavior, they had oral and anal sex a whole year before they even had an identity, before they recognized that they were identifying as gay or bisexual. And our late developers also had something similar to the middle category. You know, they developed much later, about 16, and then around 18, they start to have their identity and sexual behavior, but similar to the middle group, their behavior came before their identity formation. So now we're going to look at I'm calling this the gay-related development scale because that's what the researchers in the paper that we read and kind of started to look at this called it. But obviously, since we're including bisexual men, you know, it's not really an inclusive term, but we kind of had discussions on what should we call it then, and we didn't come to a consensus. So we're going to kind of stick to gay-related and by short GRD, but it is kind of more of a sexual development. But we wanted to keep it, you know, specific to that we're not talking about all youth. We're specifically looking at gay and bisexual youth, and we felt like that was a little different than just kind of looking, calling this like the sexual development scale. So we wanted to keep that specificity. I'm sorry, I went off track. So here we're looking at a bisexual identity. And I'm afraid probably for most of this presentation, we're going to kind of ignore the middle group. You know, that middle group is going to get a little ignored in my presentation. A lot of what I have to talk about is really comparing our early developers and our late developers. So as you can see here, there is a significant difference between how gay-identified men, when they develop, compared to bisexually identified men. So gay-identified men were significantly more likely to kind of age into these milestones at a much earlier age than our bisexually identified men. And then if we kind of look at the two columns all the way to the right, you see it all of a sudden flip. So now our bisexually identified men are almost twice as likely to kind of develop later than our gay-identified men. So we were also interested in looking at external and internal discrimination by the timing of people's important milestones. So first I'm going to talk about external discrimination. I feel like I'm mispronouncing that. We used 5 items that measured the different types of external discrimination due to sexual identity and orientation. So some sample items are: in the past 12 months, how often have you been hit or beaten up, been made fun of or called names, how to act more manly to be accepted. And the mean scale scores range from 0 to 5, with a higher score reflecting greater discrimination. And as you can see here, when we're looking at external discrimination by development, we see a linear pattern. It starts out high, so the earlier you're reaching these important milestones, the more discrimination externally, so from society, from your family, from school, from media, from whomever, you're receiving these messages and you're experiencing more types of discrimination. And then it significantly decreases the later you kind of reach these milestones. I'm trying to avoid saying coming out, because this really isn't about coming out. It's really about kind of aging into their sexual development. And we also asked men, after we asked them the discrimination, is how, you know, did you experience any emotional distress, such as sadness, anger, frustration, due to the treatment that you experienced in the past 12 months? And not surprisingly, our early category were significantly more likely to say, yes, I did. I had these feelings in the past 12 months because of how I was treated, compared to people who, and that's once again kind of slowly going down the later you age into these milestones. Interestingly enough, though, we also ask a question that is about the physical symptoms that you might have experienced because of this discrimination, and there were no differences. So there's more of an emotional impact that's happening, but it's not coming out in physical symptoms with our population. So next is internal discrimination. We used 8 items from a well-known scale. We're calling it internal discrimination, but however, it's also called internalized homophobia or internalized heterosexism. And we did adapt it slightly to be more appropriate for our sample, so we wanted to make sure that the language was appropriate for bisexually identified men as well as non-gay identifying men. And so some of the sample items are: I'm confident that my desire for men does not make me inferior, I feel stress and conflict within myself over having sex with men. And the scores on this, the mean scores range from 1 to 4, and higher scores reflect, you know, greater, you know, internal negativity. So interesting. Here's the same kind of same graph, different direction. So as you can recall from the external discrimination, it was high, went low. Here it's low and going high. So the scores, the mean scores, significantly were different for our, you know, as you were early, middle to late. So you're more likely to kind of have this higher internal discrimination experiences when you're aging into your milestones later than if you were at an earlier age. Okay. So assessing when men reach important milestones in their psychosexual development provides additional evidence about the diversity of experiences among gay and bisexual young Black men. Black bisexually identified men reach their developmental milestones later compared to gay identified men. Experiences of discrimination vary for gay and bisexually young Black men based on the timing of their gay-related developmental milestones. Developing early significantly increases experiences of external discrimination, such as physical and verbal abuse. However, they're less vulnerable to the internalized negative feelings regarding their sexual identity and their sexual orientation compared to men who reach those milestones at a later age. And so as right now, we're almost seeing kind of protective factors one way and the other way, and we're not quite sure what's going on. And there are some limitations. Our target sample may not be representative of all young gay and bisexually identified Black men. Please remember, the men had to use a substance in the past 30 days, and they had to report a sexual experience. This is also self-reported data. However, since they're so young, remembering back to when they first realized they were attracted to the same sex and identifying and their first behavior, they're kind of closer to that mean age, so hopefully their recall is better. And this is baseline data, like I previously mentioned, and therefore we're unable right now to assess, you know, some causal relationships. So some future work. So as previously mentioned today, we all know that gay and bisexually identified men are not a monolithic group, and this information demonstrates another important aspect of men's lives when we examine the health and well-being of men. However, this analysis has brought up additional questions that we consider extremely important to investigate into the future. So from our sample, we're very interested and continue to analyze the data to examine participants' attitudes, experiences over time. We have four time points that we can look at, and we want to consider other mediating factors like self-esteem and, kind of as previously discussed, mental health, social supports, what's happening in young men's lives. And we also want to assess the role of sexual fluidity on this development and experiences of discrimination. Interestingly enough, when we look at our whole sample, not this sample, but like our entire Get Real population, when we looked at how men identified at baseline and then how they identified at time point four, some of our men changed their identity, and there wasn't one pattern. So it wasn't that you were bisexual, you identified as bisexual at baseline, and then you got more comfortable with it, and then now you're gay identified. That definitely happened. Men went from bisexual to gay identified, but also gay identified men at baseline changed into, you know, oh, I see myself as a bisexual man, or I don't want to identify. You know, that was also an option. We also asked men, how else do you see yourself? What other terms would you like to use to describe yourself? So we asked some really interesting information as to other ways men see themselves and how they see their sexual identity. So we want to definitely look at that a little bit more. Most importantly, we really think, and this is something that hopefully we'll be able to do, but if not, you know, someone else will be able to do, is to conduct qualitative research to identify other important milestones or markers to include in the psychosexual development, which may be more culturally appropriate. So what are we missing other than these three milestones? And we want to examine sources of external and internal discrimination. I think we're all aware of some of the very sad and traumatic stories that have been in the media recently about what the end result can be when young people suffer at the hands of discrimination. And so we need to really look at the sources: home, school, work, peers, neighborhood, church, online. And we want to evaluate the long-term physical, emotional, and social consequences of discrimination. Now I'm kind of making it larger than just our sample of men, but really LGBTQ youth. And also assess the role of secondary trauma. Witnessing the abuse and harassment of other LGBTQ youth, what impact does that have on someone's sexual development, on their health, on their attitudes, on their decision-making, and on their behaviors? And kind of as I was reading this slide, I realized it's all negative. You know, a lot of risk factors on this slide. And I really think it's essential for us to also remember, this is very important to know. We need to increase our knowledge, as we all know. We need to make sure that we're having these discussions and sharing these experiences. But I think what we also want to kind of incorporate into our strategies and hopefully better policy making and program development is also the protective and positive factors that LGBTQ youth will possess or currently possess. So although the future work kind of has more of a negative slant, I kind of want to keep reminding myself about the wonderfulness that happens when you have this identity. And of course, this could not have happened without all our study participants sharing their information with us and coming in to the Get Real program and giving us all their information to our fabulous Get Real interviewers. And then everyone else listed here either helped with the Get Real program overall, and then also people helped me with this presentation. Thank you very much.